farming side of things. People are so dependent on farming and the last sheaf, as you say. There are lots of wee charms associated with that last sheaf of the oats, barley, whatever. You could make little rings that you could have passed on to your loved, give an indication of your appreciation of the fare intended. You would have made little rings out of that. But one of the when you're saying about the bringing out a curse on people as well, there's an awful lot of stunts that were done. And oh, I must let the inner one now as well, because one can still work. Here in far north of Donegal, we would have had a practice that's still yet today very damaging, of burning the hillsides, not the typical Beltane fire bonfire, which was the practice of burning the hillside. You know, you'd say, oh yeah, but there was a good real reason for that. And it's when you cross over and start checking, do they do it in, I'd always, do they do it in Scotland? And here they do it, and some places you get a better explanation of why they were doing it. In Scotland, it was to prevent hares from settling or coming onto your land. Our regular mountain air hare, I suppose that's well known in fairy folklore, fairy lore, that the hare is uppermost as a crossover. You know, it can graze amongst your cattle,
The witch.
bewitched. Yeah. And I was often, where we were growing up, hares were always looked on with some degree of not fear, but suspicion, or you know, you tend to leave them alone. And I've often heard people saying they would never shoot a hare. A hare, it doesn't squeal like an ordinary animal, put it that way. It actually screams if it's injured. And so this is one of the reasons it was never hunted by people with guns. It was always dogs that hunted hares. You didn't go out and shoot a hare. You couldn't stand the sound of them as they scream. But well, one of the things was the way you kept them off your land, or dissuaded them from nesting under their whin bushes, as we call it, the gorse, was because it was a well-known fact, of course, that it stole the milk from the cows. And there would have been stories of people who have chased hares from their field and losing it on the mountain and taking up the chase the next day with their dogs, only to discover there's no hare anymore. But off in one little lonely glen, there would be an old lady. There was the witch, and she was transforming into a hare, and she was coming down, and she was souring your butter, she was stealing the milk from the cow, and so on. So this is why the hare, and farming, some of the great stories that were in there, if I had time to think on them now, but that was uppermost in our mind as we were growing up. The hare was a gentle creature. It was so closely associated with our fairy lore that you intend to leave it alone.
Poor hare was, if it was seen anywhere around May Day, it was regarded as an animal that was capable of sucking on the cow's teat, which is quite the image, and it was going to be dead. But at the same time, a hare, if you had the hare's paw and you put it around your neck on May Day, apparently it was a cure for rheumatism. But another animal that was very unlucky on May Day, for the same reason that it was accused of sucking milk out of a cow, was the hedgehog. And the hedgehog again was going to be, gone if it was seen anywhere on May Days.
John, some of those old-fashioned cures and things got were based on scientific knowledge. You know, well, they knew what they were doing in a lot of cases. In far, this has nothing to do with May Day, but in farms, many generations ago, if someone cut themselves on a scythe or a bit of farm equipment, they went straight into the barn and took a cobweb and rubbed it in, and it staunched the blood, it dried up the blood. And then when pharmacies came up everywhere, people say, oh, you can't possibly do that anymore. We've got penicillin for that. But they've analyzed the cobwebs and the dust and found that it contained penicillin. So actually the ancients actually knew what they were doing in a lot of cases.
You got a tuft of its fur, and it could staunch bleeding. But also they also say that if you bathe your face in hare's blood, it would cure freckles. I mean, the hair, we could definitely have a good evening's about the old hair.
A trick of the potion makers was to have in a basket close to hand, would have been have a hair. We're back to a hair again. And the purpose of the hair was, in Inishowen, if you saw lights on the hillside at night, you daren't go near there because it's the wee folk, it's the fairy folk are out and about. But the for the more, I suppose, braver, foolhardy individual who would care to investigate the fairies and these lights, on inspection, on approaching the fairy lights, he would be met with what we know as the Banshee, the fairy woman, who would scream over the mountains and the hills of Inishowen. And depending on what part you live in, it meant death for all who heard her. Or in another part of the country, a death for who didn't hear her. So this lady had everything going for her. But in actual fact, what it was, do you remember I did say about injuring a hare? So what you did was you lifted, if the the two curious got too close, you merely took the hare out of the basket, twisted its leg, and let it go. It went off screaming over the mountain, as we know most banshees go. They're always, the story ends with them going over the mountain. Subsequent, and back to the subsequent search the next day, we always discover some old lady living on her own quite happily who happens to limp. I don't know many old ladies or old men who don't limp, but there is the story of the potion makers, the distiller's friend, a hare.